Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Exodus 34. Exodus 34. I want to look at a few verses of scriptures. In Exodus 34, and this blessed passage of scripture is the answer that the Lord gave to Moses when Moses asked the Lord in chapter 33 in verse 18, when Moses said, "Show me thy glory." Now, Moses had seen a lot of things by God's good pleasure. He saw the covenant God in the burning bush. He saw the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses hid his face. Didn't want to look on God. Moses saw the plagues in Egypt. God sent him to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, "Let his people go." He saw God. He saw God's justice, judgment against rebellion. He saw God's mercy to spare the children of Israel. He saw God's power when he took them out of Egypt. They went out high hand, praising God. He saw the Lord open up the Red Sea. He saw Christ, his body broken, safe passage, dry ground. He saw that water come out of the rock. He saw that brazen. He saw a lot of things. But one thing that he asked that he had not set forth as having seen, he said, "Lord, would you show me your glory?" And God was going to answer that. He said he was going to answer him, and he said, "I want to." We just sang this song. It says, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, shadows of dry, thirsty land. Hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me with his hand." Now that's Fanny Crosby got that out of this passage of scripture right here, Exodus 33. When Moses said, "Show me your glory. I want to know from your mouth. I want to know who you are. I want to know your name. I want to know your character. Show me what you think." And the Lord said, he said, verse 19, "I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." That name of which God is jealous. He's jealous of his name. "I'm going to be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy." Here's what he's saying. You want to know my glory? I'm God. And I do as I will, with whom I will, when I will. He said, "Thou," verse 20, "canst not see my face. There shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover thee with my hand while I pass by." Oh, the mercy of God to shield us from beholding his essence. He's going to allow us to see him in the Messiah, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hid us, put us in him, covered us, kept us, protected us. He said, "I'm going to take away my hand, I'll see my back part. You're not going to see my face. You're going to see me, but you're going to see me in part as you're able." And the Lord, in verse 34, chapter 34, said to Moses, "Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. I will write upon these two tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. We were just talking a moment ago about that's what Moses did in the last passage. The Lord made those first two tables. The Lord made those two tables of stone. And you know what he told Moses to do? He said, now those that you broke, you make two just like I did. You make two just like I did. Moses is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. It's going to take a man. God's law didn't change. God's demand for righteousness didn't change. He's going to write the same law on those two tables. But a man's going to have to make those two. And Christ alone did it. Christ alone satisfied God. When I read that passage of Scripture, he said, you make two just like the first two. What man can make two tables of stone just like God unless he's God? Be ready in the morning. Come up. Mount Sinai, present thyself there to me on top of the mount. No man shall come up with thee. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let thy flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the Mount Sinai. And the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to just look at these next few verses. I'm going to look at verses 6 through verse 9. And the Lord is going to preach a message here. He's going to preach a very short message to Moses. And he is going to set forth, when Moses asked him, he said, show me your glory. Show me, again, as I said, who you are. God had told him, he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. That name of which I said, the Lord is jealous. Jealous. And he said, in his law, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does that mean? Now let me tell you, it doesn't mean, as I know people say, this is a curse word. People start off with God and then they use another word. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. No, sir. Let me tell you what taking the name of the Lord in vain is. If you don't believe exactly what God is getting ready to say about himself. Everybody and their brother that's sitting somewhere in some worship service, and somebody's proclaiming who God is. And if they are not saying exactly what God says concerning his character, who he is, who he says he is, they are taking the name of the Lord in vain. They're speaking of it as worthless. Now let's just look for a few minutes. Who does God say he is? This is the God we worship. Verse 6, 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Here's what God said. The Lord. The Lord God. Here's what he said. I'm speaking. I am that I am is declaring. Who does the Lord say he is? First thing he says, merciful. Merciful. I am compassionate. I am ready to forgive the sinner to whom I have chosen to show mercy. We'll never get away from what he said in verse 19 of chapter 33. Someone might say, God is merciful. He'll be merciful if a man will just accept whatever he's offering. That's not what the Lord said. I am merciful to whom I will be merciful. God is sovereign. He has a heart that set forth here to relieve the needy by mercy. That is, he sets forth this concerning himself. I have been pleased to not give the people of my choosing what they deserve. That's mercy. David said in Psalm 103, I'll read this to you, Psalm 103, verse 10 and 11. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Oh, what a word. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. Did we deserve it? Did we deserve it? The scripture says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. This is the hope of a sinner. This is the hope of one that is guilty. This is the hope of one who actually knows what he is. The Lord is merciful. I'll read this again. 2 Samuel chapter 24. David had numbered the people. You remember that? David decided one day he was going to number the people. And the scripture says when he did that, God was displeased. Scripture says in 2 Samuel 24, verse 10, David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I've sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I've done very foolishly. When David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee? Secondly, 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land. Now you advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, here's what the Lord sent him a word. He said, David, I'm going to let you choose. What do you want? You want pestilence? You want to be chased by your enemies? You want 3 days? You know, David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. I don't want to choose. Can you imagine if Almighty God would ask one of us, what do you want me to do to you? I don't want to choose. I don't want to choose. Lord, you're a God of mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I deserve whatever you give me. I deserve more than you, because you're merciful. He said, secondly, verse 6, the Lord is gracious. Almighty God is gracious. He's kind. Ready to bestow undeserved benefits upon the objects of his kindness. Grace is when he does not give us what we deserve. Mercy. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. Grace is when he gives us what we don't deserve. Let me ask you something. Which hell-deserving sinner in this congregation this morning ever merited God's electing, redeeming, regenerating, keeping grace? Which one of us here deserved the imputation of Christ's righteousness? Which one of us deserved? Which one of us here this morning merited being married to him, being chosen, betrothed to him in righteousness and justice and mercy, all of our guilt put away? Which one of us here deserved to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ? Which one? Who? Lord, show me your glory. Here's my glory. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering. What does that mean? Patient. Patient. He defers when it comes to his justice, he defers. Wisely, wisely. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that is to take vengeance on rebellion, as some men count slackness, that God is unmindful of that promise, but he's long-suffering. Long-suffering to usward, to his people, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now we know who's going to come to the Lord. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But oh, how long-suffering, how patient to the vessels of his mercy. I've made a statement or two every once in a while about me, back years ago. Just back when I was growing up, high school, especially college. Gary went with me back to Louisiana, just got a hint of it, just from a few statements, didn't you, Gary? He did. Just a few people that got around me. Just, you know. My mama could write volumes on this. And I think to myself, oh, the long-suffering of God that kept me from myself, that kept me, oh, and the long-suffering of God to those that God would even leave to themselves. I think about, I'll just give you this as an illustration. My mother came from a family of 9 brothers and sisters. 9 brothers and sisters. Her mom and dad, and their mom and dad, and mom and dad, and mom and dad, and mom and dad. How many God was long-suffering to? Why? Not willing that one should perish. Who is the Lord? Show me your glory. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment, faithfulness to his covenant, what that means. Blessed are they that wait for him. And then he says, the latter part of verse 6, and abundant in goodness. Abundant. He's the chief in kindness. Psalm 31:21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city, in Christ, the city of refuge. That's how he's shown me. That's how he's shown me his marvelous kindness. The Lord declared in Jeremiah 9:24, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I'm the Lord, that exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. In these things I delight, saith the Lord. In the latter part of verse 6, the scripture says, and in truth. He's abundant in goodness. He's abundant in truth. What do you mean? Steadfastness. Steadfastness. He is the God who can be counted upon. Concerning his promises given to his people in Christ Jesus, his word shall not fail. He's the truth. Way, truth, and life. All the promise of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. You can count on him. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Then he said in verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands. Thousands. He never said that he was keeping mercy for everyone without distinction. He said thousands according to his promise to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. He shall guard them. That's what he says. Keeping mercy. Keeping. That's what that word keeping means. Guarding it, protecting it, maintaining his word to show mercy to his people. Forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Forgiving iniquity, the guilt contracted by sinning. Transgression, transgressors, what does that mean? We did it. And sin, what we are. Three descriptions of our problem. All sorts of sins, is what he's committed, is what he's saying, that are committed by his people. All sorts of sins. Secret things. Sins that you don't know about. There's stuff I've done, you don't have any idea what I've done. There's some things you've seen. But that secret sin, open sins, presumptuous sins, sins of ignorance. Things I did I didn't even realize what I was doing. All the sins of his people to whom Christ has everlastingly stood as the surety. What Scripture says, forgive them. Lifting them off. That's what forgiveness is. Lifting it off. He put it on another and put it away. He put it away. Where are they? They're gone. Where are the sins of God's people? They're gone. Far as the east is from the west, behind the back of, cast into the sea. Where is that? I don't know. I don't want to know. They're gone. No condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. And Scripture says it. And that will by no means, verse 7, clear the guilty. What does that mean? He's just. He's a just God. I'll by no means hold innocent. I'm not going to acquit the guilty. God is just. He never shows mercy and grace at the expense of his justice. That's what he's saying. When Christ bore the guilt, the sins of his people, those sins were made to be his own. Those sins were made to be his own. He bore them, the Scripture says, in his own body. God had made him to be sin. Mine iniquities, Psalm 40, are more than the hairs of my head. You understand this? Who are you? Show me your glory. I'm merciful, and gracious, and long suffering. I'm not going to quit the wicked. I'm not going to clear the guilty. God Almighty, when he bore the guilt of his people, you listen to me. They were his. He took them, bore that guilt of it, and put that guilt away, put those sins away. And I know the sins, we still commit them, but let me tell you something. If we say we have no sin, we make him to be a liar. But let me tell you something. There's no guilt. He paid the guilt. But who are you? Who are you? Show me your glory. Show me who you are. I'm not going to clear the guilty. And then lastly, the Scripture says in the latter part of that seventh verse, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And let me tell you what the Lord is not saying there. He's not saying here that the children and the children's children are going to suffer the eternal punishment of the father's iniquity. He's not saying that. All men apart from Christ are going to stand before God based on their own guilt. Ezekiel 18:20, I can prove that. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So the Lord's not speaking of one bearing the eternal judgment of another. But what he is saying is this. Now listen to what I'm saying. Because what does the Lord mean? He means exactly what he said right here. And this is exactly what he said. He said that though men think that sin once it's done and it's over, then it's soon forgotten and all of its damage has passed away. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you, I will never be able to set forth the glory of what the Lord has forgiven us from. But I can tell you this, according to the word of the Lord, sin has its consequences. It has consequences. According to the revelation of God, there are remembrances of the consequences of what has been done, that we might be reminded of the heinousness, if I'm using the right word, I might have made that up, of sin. How heinous sin truly is. Listen to this, Lamentations 5:7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. We've borne the consequences of what was done. One of the best examples, well, I can tell you a better one than that. I can tell you this. When Adam rebelled against God, who actually sinned against God? Adam. Who actually sinned against God? Did it have any lasting consequences? Was there any consequences from that? Listen to this in 2 Samuel 12. David took Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. God sent, after David took Bathsheba, he sent a prophet, Nathan, to David. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in this sight?" Now let me tell you who he's talking to. God's talking to a man after his own heart. He's not talking to somebody that doesn't know him. He said, "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and will take thy wives before thee, and give them unto thy neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I've sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy guilt. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall not die." Now let me ask you something. Does our rebellion have any consequences? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Has God been pleased to put away the guilt of the sin of his people? Yes, he has. Has God saved them by grace? Yes, he has. I remember an incident that happened years ago. I started not to tell this, but I'm going to. Before the Lord was pleased to reveal himself to me, I was trying to be so faithful in being what people would call a soul winner. And I diligently tried my best to do everything that I was instructed to do. Got this person to get down like I wanted them to. Got them to agree to me like I wanted them to. Ask them some, directed questions so they'd answer just exactly the way I wanted to, so that I could be able to go back and tell people back at the church that I was, what I had done. Get another notch, in my soul winner's pistol handle grip. Be able to bring a little attention to myself.
Years later, the Lord was pleased to reveal Christ to me. And I realized that wasn't right. And I went back and tried to tell that person. I said, listen, I was deceived. I was deceived. I told you wrong. And as far as I know to this day, he still holds to that. He told me, he said, no, you led me to the Lord. You were the one. You were the one that did it. I mean, when I heard those words, my heart was smitten. Now, did I do it ignorantly? Yes, I was ignorant. But the effects of taking the name of the Lord in vain, the effects of it are far-reaching. And the Scripture says back in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 8, after God had spoken to Moses, and Moses made haste, and he bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped. He worshiped. And he said, if I now have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Lord, we're sinners. Pardon our iniquity. Lord, have mercy. Lord, you said you're God of mercy. Have mercy on us. You're a gracious God. Be gracious to us. Lord, you're long-suffering. Be long-suffering to us. Lord, I know you're not going to quit the wicked. I know that. I know I know, Lord, that sin has its consequences. And I will go through the rest of my life remembering, thinking to myself, this is what I deserve. This is what I deserved. But God was merciful. Been mercy. And I pray God have mercy upon that one that I spoke to. But I'll never forget. I'll never forget how evil sin is. Lord, take us and treat us as your inheritance. And we bow before you. And we worship you for who you say you are. For Christ's sake.